Lyle, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Tess. It's great to be with you.
So to start off with, could you give us a snapshot of what the Australian Christian Lobby's opinion is on the postal plebiscite?
Well, look, as you said in your intro, it would have been better if we could have had a regular compulsory attendance plebiscite, which is the way we normally do voting in this country. But the Labor Party and the Greens and Senator Darren Hinch and the Xenophon team said no to that and blocked it in the Senate. So the government's found a way to do this without legislation by getting the Australian Bureau of Statistics to conduct a voluntary postal poll to give Australians the opportunity to say what they think about this issue. Now, it's a second best option, but it still is a valid way to gauge public opinion, which will then inform the Parliament, which will make a final decision.
Now, young people in Australia are predicted to lean towards voting yes for the legalisation of same-sex marriage. The 18 to 34 age bracket shows up to 70% support for changing the law. What do you make of this?
Look, I think young people are very much immersed in a culture which encourages ideas like same-sex marriage. It's seen as the cool thing. It's seen as just inevitable. It's the way to go. I understand that. I get that. That's what their social media, it's what the music culture, it's what the entertainment culture says. But I just wonder whether people have thought through all the consequences and what it actually really means. And I guess that's why we're concerned, because, I don't think the government, has an interest in who people love. People can love whoever they like. People who have got various religious or moral beliefs will have different views about what sort of love is appropriate and what isn't. But in a free society, people are free to do what they like. What my concern is that if you change the definition of marriage, you're actually creating a situation where we are saying as a society that it's okay for some children to miss out on their mother or father, not because of tragedy or desertion, but because society said that must be the case for those children. Now, I think we've got to think hard about that, and I think that's something that perhaps many young people haven't considered as they've gone along with the cultural flow.
Well, I mean, just yesterday, actually, the Australian Medical Association, they had their psychological team, I think, put out the results of a survey they'd done, which found that there was absolutely no discernible difference between the children of a heterosexual couple and a same-sex couple.
Yeah, look, I was disappointed to see. I think the AMA are not engaging with the academic science very well. Now, that's a big statement for me to say. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an academic. But I have looked at the studies that have been done on both sides of this debate. I've read many of them. And the critique stands that those studies which purport to say that there's no issue for children being raised in a same-sex family, those studies are generally, on the main, based on what's called self-selecting samples, snowball samples, where advertisements are put in gay or lesbian media, and then people come forward and participate in the research. Now, that is a way to do academic research. But if you're actually wanting to draw a definitive conclusion, you've got to do serious longitudinal studies. Now, some of that work has been done, and it has shown that there are issues and there are problems. Now, the authors of those studies, people like Mark Regeneris and others, they freely admit that their data is by no means conclusive, because this issue of same-sex parenting is so new. This is a modern-day experiment, and it's particularly an experiment in terms of male-headed families, where you've got two men raising children from birth right through to adolescence and adulthood. That is so rare, it's almost impossible to get reliable data to draw any conclusions from. And so the serious studies that have been peer-reviewed, that have been published in academic journals by people like Regeneris, Sullins and others, have shown there are problems, notwithstanding the fact that this is still a very rare thing and it is difficult to draw conclusive data.
Well, just moving on, you and the Australian Christian Lobby, you are a strong voice for the No campaign. And comments that have been made, I guess, in the past have included the likening of kids of LGBTIQ people to the treatment of the stolen generation. This was seen by quite a few people as an offensive analogy to make. So what assurances can the ACL give, I guess, that going forward and campaigning for the No vote, that you'll keep the conversation respectful?
Well, we've always kept the conversation respectful, Tess. My comments regarding the stolen generation were made about 4 or so years ago when Kevin Rudd, the former Prime Minister, who was a strong supporter and an advocate for marriage between a man and a woman for the reasons that I've been giving you this morning, he did a complete about-face and a U-turn. And he was the man who apologised to the stolen generation. And at the time, 4 or so years ago, I made the point that here you have someone who apologised to children, to parents who had children removed by government policy, now wanting to create government policy that requires children again to miss out on the love of their mother or father. Now, I think that's a very reasonable analogy to draw because there's similar circumstances. Now, it doesn't mean that people who are in same-sex relationships that have children that they've brought into those relationships don't love those children. Of course they do, but a third party is always required to provide children to same-sex couples. That's just a fact, and that's not a statement of animus or bigotry. It's just a statement of biology, and I think we've got to consider the rights of the child to know the love of their biological parent wherever possible, and not to create government policy that forces a child to be separated from the love of their biological mother or father.
Now, I've only got a couple minutes left with you, Lyle, but just before I do let you go, I know you've seen the viral email from Reverend Meredith Williams, who did say, amongst other things, she doesn't believe that the union of two consenting adults, people, contravenes Christian concepts of love and relationships, and I believe the quote was, resents your assumption that all Christians share your view on same-sex marriage. Now, you replied on Twitter to say that she was out of step with the teaching of her own church, and look, you may be completely correct in that, but if you're lobbying for Australian Christians and not just Christianity, do you think that perhaps your organisation should reflect that diversity of opinions that some Australian Christians might have?
Well, I don't think it's up to some Australian Christians to decide what they think is Christian teaching or not. And, you know, unfortunately, Reverend Meredith, she is out of step with the teaching of the Uniting Church. Holds to marriage being between one man and one woman, as does every other denomination in Australia. Now, Australian Christian Lobby doesn't pretend to be a peak body for the church. We're not. But we use the word Christian in our name because we want to be upfront with people and say, we are Christian, we are advocating for Christian values. And yes, there may be some disagreement around some issues at the edges, but on the whole, we are very much in the mainstream of Christian understanding of things like marriage and family, or when it comes to other issues like poverty and disadvantage, which are other issues that we lobby on. But sadly, Reverend Meredith is way out of step with Orthodox Christian teaching, and that's fine. That's her prerogative. You know, we're not going to change Christian teaching just because there's a few people like her that take a different view.
Well, Lyle, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you, Tess. Appreciate the opportunity.